started, got back into it on last week when we were talking about the resume really of the wicked. And you think about when a person is saying they want to be saved, when they're saying that they want Jesus in their life, they have to have a mind to want to change. You can't be born again unless you have a mind to want to change. Even though things go wrong, or you may be doing this or you may be doing that, and you know it's not like Jesus, you can't get the help that the Lord has for you unless you have a mind to want to change. You got to have a mind to want to stop doing the things that Jesus said for you to stop doing. You got to change the way that you're thinking. I don't care how bad the habit is. I don't care how long you've been doing that habit. If the Lord say you shouldn't do it, you got to stop it. That's just the bottom line. Your life depends on that. Lord say don't do certain things, you just cannot do it. That's if you want to be saved. It's no different if a fella, I was thinking about that while before I came into the sanctuary this morning. I said, you know, it's no different if we were in this building and this building was on fire. And before the fire department got here, and I don't care where the fire was at, if you want to live, you'll do your best to get out of this building. You won't sit there and wait for someone to come rescue you. Not if you can help it yourself. Now, I understand you may be in a situation where you can't help yourself, but those that want to live will do everything that they can do to try their best to get wherever they got to get at so that they can be safe. Even if a fellow don't know how to swim, he'll do the best he can. Somebody drop him in the middle of the ocean, he may have never swam a day in his life, but he'll do the best he can. He'll do the best he can for as long as he can because he wants to live. And the minute he stops that desire to want to live is the minute he's going to die. The minute he's going to die. So it's the same thing that Jesus is striving to get across to us when we were in sin. That we had to have a mind to want to stop the sin. We had to have a mind to do what the Lord said to do, which was to repent. You notice when Jesus, before Jesus came on the earth, he sent his forerunner, John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. If you go over to Luke, I didn't intend to go here this morning, but it'll help us out a little bit. Luke chapter number 1. Chapter number 1 and verse number 76 through 79. It says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest." That's who John the Baptist was. He was the prophet of the highest. "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation." That's what his message was. That's what we do. When we are witnessing, when we are preaching, when we are teaching, when we are singing, everything is to give knowledge of salvation. Unto who? Unto the people. Unto the people. All those that are listening. We want to give them knowledge of the salvation by the remission of their sins. See, that's the most important part of salvation. Most important part of our salvation is to have sin removed from us. If sin isn't removed from us, it's no good telling anybody that we're saved, because we're still going to have to face sin's judgment. The scripture says that the wage of sin is death. And if we want to get sin off of us, or if we want to get out of the path of death, we have to get out of our sin. It's amazing how people will pay attention to everything but that. It's amazing. They'll go to church day in and day out. They'll listen to all kind of messages, read all kind of books, listen to all kind of testimonies. And you look at the end of it, many of the times, 99.9% of the time, None of that stuff has anything to do with them getting out of sin. And if the message is not going to help you get out of sin, what good is that message? Because regardless of what advice a person gives you, if you die in your sin, you have to face sin's price. So regardless of what message I preach, regardless of what song I sing, regardless of what kind of book I write, regardless of how long and how beautiful you say my testimony is, if it's not going to help you get out of your sin, what good is it? Because when you die, if you are in your sin, you're going to have to face sin's payment. Sin's payment, according to Romans chapter number 6 and 23, is death. Death is to be separated from life. Now, we're separated from life from birth because of Adam. We're born in the state or the condition of sin. That's why Jesus came. According to Matthew chapter number 1 and 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall do what? Save. He's going to deliver the people from sin. So you see right there in that scripture, his focus was to get you and I out of sin. He didn't want us to go through life and stay in sin. He wants to get us out of sin. That is real salvation. That's really what it means to be saved. Doesn't mean you're saved because you go to church. Doesn't mean you're saved because you read your Bible. It doesn't mean you're saved because you know a couple of good gospel songs. You are saved because you are free from sin. Free from sin's habit. Free from sin's dominion or its rule. Free from sin's guilt. Free from sin's penalty. That's the only time you and I can say that we're saved. If we don't, we can't check all of that off, we're really not saved. Some people would tell us, oh, come down and give the Lord your hand and give the Lord your heart and pray this prayer and just believe Jesus. But if it don't take care of your sin, you still going to face sin's payment. You're still going to face sin's penalty. I don't care how much you acknowledge. I don't care how much you confess. I don't care how much we talk about sin. I don't care how much I coach you to stop doing this and stop doing that. If it does not get sin removed from you, that word remission means to remove it. You need sin removed from your soul. And until sin is removed from your soul, you have to face sin's price or sin's payment. Jesus died on that cross to pay sin's price. He suffered, he bled, and died on that cross to pay sin's price. Scripture says we weren't redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He shed his blood to redeem you and I from our sins. Right? That's the truth, saints. Jesus did that to buy us back. In other words, we were sold under sin, and Jesus shed that blood to buy us back from sin. And that's what's the significance of the new birth. The new birth allows us to associate ourselves with what Jesus did on Calvary. When he paid that price, you say, well, Jesus paid that price over 2,000 years ago. Yes, he did. But you and I have to ask ourselves a question. How can we associate ourselves with that? Even though he did that to free us from our sin, we are still born in sin. And the only way we can get rid of that sin that we were born in is we must be born again. Jesus sent John the Baptist to give the people knowledge of this salvation. Not deliverance from the Romans, not deliverance from any of the political oppressors or the religious oppressors. Or the religious leaders that tried to antagonize them or make them feel bad about themselves. Jesus did not come to do that. He says he came to give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins. Right? Come on. Now, if that's the message that John the Baptist was preaching, that's the same thing that we should be preaching. If we're trying to get a person to know who Jesus is, we have to give them knowledge first of the state or the condition that they are in.
It's amazing again to hear people will come up with all kind of information.
Yeah.
They will tell you all about all kind of problems.
Yeah.
And when you tell them that Jesus is the answer to that problem, you are feeling this way because of sin. You are in this state or this condition because of sin. And until you focus on that problem, until you go to the source, you will constantly be a victim. You, sin is going to have its way in you. Sin is going to do what it's intended to do, which is destroy you. Sin is going to bring you and I to the place of death. If we don't allow Jesus to deliver us from it, it will bring us to the place of death. That's the truth. Sin has a wage. Sin has a payment. Scripture says sin's payment is death. Jesus said death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. See, sin has a plan. Sin has a plan for our lives. Just like Jesus got a plan to deliver us, sin has a plan for our lives. And it's up to us to say, I don't want sin's plan to be manifested in me, right? That's the truth. But the Lord say, I've come to give, he brought his preacher to give knowledge of salvation. To give knowledge on what kind of salvation. Not salvation from debt. Not salvation from people that don't like us. Or people that hate us. Not salvation from our living conditions.
Right.
Say, oh, the scouts, God, I'm in the hood. I'm in the slums. It's nasty. It's filthy where I live at. This is not the kind of salvation Jesus died for.
Right.
Jesus didn't die to bring you out of the hood.
Right.
He didn't die to bring you up out of the slums.
Right.
He died to bring you out of sin.
Right.
Isn't that the sweet thing about Jesus? He went to the core of the problem.
Yeah.
Why are there hoods? Huh? Why are there slums? Huh? Why do we have enemies? All because of sin. Jesus came to bring salvation from sin. That devil don't want you to focus on that. He wants you to focus on everything but sin, right? That's the truth. He have you down there calling Jesus as though you don't even know why you're down there. Just like you're down there just wasting the time. Just letting the time just roll by. And you're not even taking advantage of it. You're not even realizing you're calling on the name of salvation. You're calling on the name of Jesus. Why am I still in sin when I'm calling on the name of Jesus? Huh? Why is sin still having its way in my life when I'm praising the name of Jesus? Huh? Why is sin still dominating my thoughts when I'm reading about the name of Jesus? And the name of Jesus has come to save me. Come to deliver me from my sin. Huh? That's what Matthew 1:21 say. She shall bring forth the son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus shall do what? Save. Jesus shall save his people from their sin. Do you want to be saved? Huh? You got to ask yourself that kind of question. Are you really sick of sin? Are you really tired of living in the state and the condition of sin? Are you really tired of sin ruling you? Calling the shots. Huh? Sin makes you feel bad. Sin makes you feel like you can't do. Sin makes you feel like you got time. Huh? Sin makes you put Jesus on the back burner and put yourself up front. Sin makes you pay attention to stuff you shouldn't be paying attention to. Sin makes you murmur. Sin makes you complain. Huh? Sin makes you feel frustrated. Huh? Sin makes you feel like don't nobody like you. Like the whole world is against you. Huh? Come on, sin does all of that to you. Huh? Sin does all of that to you. And you should be saying to yourself, why are you staying in sin? Aren't you sick and tired of sin? Huh? Don't you want to be delivered from sin? Only one came to deliver you from sin, and that's Jesus, right? I'm doing you a disservice if I preach any other message. Huh? I'm doing you a disservice to the quality of your life if I preach or teach to you any other message than the message of Jesus. Huh? Why? Because he's the only one that can remove sin from the soul. Huh? Oh, yes. He's the only one that can remove sin from the soul. However it's taming you. However sin is plaguing your life. However sin is corrupting you, however it's spoiling you. Only one that can deliver you from that is Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. Sin is doing a whole lot of stuff in a whole lot of people's lives. And the only one that can deliver them from it is Jesus. And you should say you should be tired of being a victim to sin every day. You went to bed last night being defeated by sin. You woke up this morning still being defeated by sin. When the Lord said, I gave you a brand new day to deliver you. Deliver you from what? From your sin, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth. He only requires that we do what? Repent. Huh? Repent means to take advantage of his mercy. Huh? Verse number 78 in Luke chapter number 1 says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have done what? He has visited us. Huh? Oh, yes. I don't care how dark and how sinful this world looks. I don't care what they do. I don't care how they sanctify sin days and sin time, sin moments. Jesus has still come to visit his people. Huh? He is still in the earth. He is still in the earth, and he's seeking and saving that which is lost. Those that want to be delivered, he will deliver you. Huh? The Lord will deliver your mind. Huh? He will deliver your soul. He will free you if you want to be free, right? Jesus is the day spring from on high. According to the scripture, he said he has come down to visit us. Huh? He has come down to visit us and show us tender mercy. What kind of tender mercy? Tender mercy in the form of bringing us out of sin. Huh? Helping us do something we can't do ourselves. Lord is just waiting for us to realize you can't help yourself by yourself. Huh? He's waiting for you to give up. He's waiting for you to acknowledge you can't do this by yourself. Huh? Jesus is waiting for you to admit that you're weak. Huh? That you are powerless. Huh? Jesus just waiting for you and I to admit these facts. And then he can step in and help us. He's waiting for us to admit the fact that mother can't do it. Father can't do it. Sister can't do it. Brother can't do it. Your money can't do it. Can nobody deliver you from sin but Jesus? He's waiting for you to get to that reality. And then he can help you, right? That's the truth. Devil wants you to spend days past casting blame. He wants you to distract you, to have you focus on things that have nothing to do with you being free from your sin. Huh? Oh, yes, he does. He wants you to be mad at the man on the corner. He wants you to be mad at your neighbor. Huh? He wants you to be frustrated with people that do mean things to you. But you got to get down to the source of the issue. The issue is not your neighbor. The issue is not the man on the corner. The issue is not the person doing something mean to you. It is sin. Sin is working. Huh? Sin is working. And it's trying to make you a victim. Huh? Sin is trying to make you a victim when Jesus has come to give you the victory. Victory over what? Over your sin, right? Over that thing that's trying to separate you from Jesus. Huh? Scripture said the Lord's hand is not short. His ear is not heavy. Huh? But it's your iniquity. It's your sin that has separated you from Jesus. Huh? Oh, yes. Go down to the core. Say, Elder Scudder, I'm not saved because of sin. Huh? Oh, yeah, that's it. You're not saved because of sin. Sin is having its way in your life. And you need to get sick and tired of sin. Get sick and tired of sin to the point that you cry out to Jesus in a desperate means, in a desperate mode. Huh? Yes, you got to be desperate for Jesus. You got to realize he's the only one that can save you from sin. He's the only one that can free your mind from sin captivity. Huh? The law of sin and death is working in you. And the only one that can deliver you from this law is Jesus. Huh? He is the one that gives us access out of the law of sin and death into the grace, huh? Into the mercy that he gave when he died on that cross, right? He's the only one that can do that for you. Go over to Romans chapter number 5. 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. I think that's what Romans 5:1 says. That word justified means to be declared righteous. On last week, we talked about that in Matthew 6:33. Yeah, I told you to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Huh? Stop letting sin rule you. Stop desiring sin to rule you. Sin is going to tell you you can't. Sin is going to tell you you don't have to. But the word, what does the word, what does the righteous word of God say? What does his holy word reveal unto you? Huh? Oh, yeah. The holy word speaks. And we got to be willing to listen to what his word says to us. Huh? Word gives us instruction. Word tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate. Huh? Word tells you that. Huh? Now, sin tells you it's okay. Sin tells you it's all right. It doesn't hurt. You're not doing anything. It's not you're only hanging around somebody that's your friend. But the Lord told you to come out from among them and be ye separate. Huh? Word told you to touch not the unclean thing. Huh? Sin tells you it's not clean. But the word of God says it's unclean. The sin tells you it's clean. Sin tells you it's okay. But the word says it's dirty. The word says it is an abomination to Jesus, meaning it is disgusting to Jesus. So you and I ought not to touch it if we don't want to be in control by it, right? Huh? Sin wants to control us, but Jesus wants to free us from the control, right? And he's doing it by telling us not to touch it, right? Touch not the unclean thing. Huh? Say, touch not. Yeah. Huh? Be not unequally yoked. Together with those that don't believe. Huh? Those that don't believe that Jesus is God. Those that don't believe that people are born in the state of the condition of sin. Those that don't believe that you got to be born again of both water and spirit. Jesus told you don't be unequally yoked. Together with people that don't believe. People that don't believe that you've got to come to church. You got to come praise the Lord. Lord said, let everything that has breath praise him. Lord said, don't neglect assembling of yourselves together. In other words, don't sit at home and not do nothing when you know the saints are somewhere praising Jesus. That's being negligent. Huh? That's neglecting. That word neglecting means you're disregarding it. You're putting it all to the side. The Lord told you not to be negligent in assembling yourself together with the saints. Not with your family, but with the saints. Huh? Jesus said your inheritance is among those that are sanctified. He's given you an inheritance among those that are sanctified, right? Those that have been called out of darkness. Huh? Into the marvelous light. Huh? Oh, yes. Lord blessed you to come out of that darkness of sin into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light. He blessed you to come out of sin into his light. Huh? Into his knowledge. Into his way of doing things. Huh? Oh, yes. He blessed you to do that. That is the right way. Huh? That's why the writer says, therefore being justified or being declared right. By what? By faith. Faith in what? In the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why did Jesus die? Jesus didn't die for me to put up with sin. He died to free me from sin. Jesus died that I might not live under the control of sin any longer. Huh? Someone go over to 1 John really quick. Really quick, really quick. Didn't intend to go there. But you got to know, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus die for my sins? 1 John chapter number 5, I believe it is. Chapter number 5 or chapter number 3, one of them. 1 John chapter number 3, that's what I want. Chapter number 3 and verse number 4. Start at verse number 4. Yes. Yeah, that's it. That the law is righteous. The law is holy. Huh? That's that rule. that standard of conduct, that governing principle that Jesus has established in his word. He told you to be ye holy. Why? Because I'm holy, right? He told you to come out from among them and be sanctified. In other words, to be holy, right? He desires holiness. Huh? He said, put a difference between clean and unclean. Huh? Holy and unholy. Huh? Come on, be ye holy. Why? Because the Lord your God is holy. He is a holy God. And he desires holiness from his people. Huh? What does it say there? Whosoever transgresseth the law, you're committing sin. Uh-huh. Because sin is the transgression of the law. When Jesus tells you not to do something and you go and do it, you are sinning. Huh? Oh, yes. Lord told you to pay your tithes and you don't pay them. You are sinning. Huh? Lord said, give me 10%. 10% of whatever I bring into your pocket. And when you go against that, you are sinning. I don't care what you put in that envelope. You are sinning when you go against what Jesus told you to do. When the Lord told you, do not lie. Huh? Lord says, do not lie. Huh? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Huh? Do not lie. When you find yourself lying, you are sinning. Huh? Come on, saints. When you find yourself hating your brother, hating your sister, bringing up false accusations against them, speaking on hearsay, speaking on what you think, how you feel, that's a false accusation. You don't know the truth of the matter. You don't know the truth of the matter. Keep your mouth shut. But when you do that, you are sinning. Huh? You are sinning. Why? Because you're transgressing the law. The thing that Jesus told you not to do, you're doing it, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Huh? You find it hard to love. Huh? You find it hard to love. You find it hard to look like 1 Corinthians 13. That's love. You find it hard to do that. Huh? Oh, yes, you finding it hard to do that. You saying you love out of your mouth, but your actions ain't lining up with 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is telling you how to love. It's telling you what love looks like. Huh? Come on, love believes in all. Love is not looking for a way to bring your brother and your sister down. Love believes in all. Love is not quick to bring, say, did you see what they said? Did you see what they did? They shouldn't have did that. But the love will make you look at yourself. What did I do? How am I feeling? That ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm too busy looking in the mirror at myself. I can't see what somebody else is doing. Love will help you do that, right? That's the truth, right? Love will help you do that. Huh? Come on. Read a little bit more of that.
You know that he was man.
Why was Jesus? In other words, God took on the flesh. God is a spirit. Spirits have no blood to shed. Spirits have no bodies. And in order for blood to be shed, somebody without sin had to shed some blood. And the only one without sin after Adam was God himself. Because after Adam, everybody was born in the state or the condition of sin. But the only one after Adam that had no sin was God himself. So the only one that could get in a body and pay sin's price was God himself. Huh? He couldn't sin nobody else. Huh? He could not sin nobody else. I don't care how good you thought they were. They still were born in sin. Huh? Everybody born after Adam was born in sin. The only one after Adam that had no sin was God himself. Therefore, God had to get into a body. Huh? He got into a body and put himself in the womb of a virgin. Huh? A virgin by the name of Mary. Huh? She said, how can I be pregnant when I did not know any man? The scripture said the power of the Almighty have overshadowed you. God put himself in the womb of Mary, and she brought forth a child, a son, a male child, that Isaiah's prophecy might be fulfilled. Huh? Behold, a son is given. Behold, a child is born. A son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Huh? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. In the New Testament, we see that the child is born. Emmanuel's prophecy is already fulfilled. Huh? What does Emmanuel mean? It means God is with us. When you see Jesus, you see God with us, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
When you see Jesus, you see God with us. Jesus is God with us. Huh? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Huh? Come on, saints. He brought light into the world. In the midst of darkness, he brought light into the world. But he told a prophet to come before him to give knowledge, huh, of the salvation that was coming. Huh? Oh, John the Baptist preached Jesus. Yes, he did. He preached Jesus. He said, there's one coming after me that's mightier than I am. Huh? If his shoes get unlatched, I'm not worthy to tie him up. He was preferred before me. He is before me, right? He is the Lamb of God, right? That has come to take away the sins of the world. God got into that body. He named himself Jesus. He walked on earth for 33 years. Huh? Showing many signs and wonders. Touching people. Healing people. Huh? Forgiving people of their sins. Huh? Healing them of all manner of diseases. All manner of plagues that sin brought on them. Sin made people blind. Sin made people lame. Sin gave them all kind of diseases. Huh? Come on. Sin made them prostitutes. But look at Jesus. Jesus came and he healed all manner of sickness. All manner of diseases. He set the captive free, right? Huh? Those that were bound by sin, he freed them and told them, go and sin no more, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? Oh, yes, he did. God got into that body. Just like the children of partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same. That through death, God got into that body. Huh? Allowed his body to be tortured. Huh? Oh, yeah. Calvary was a torture. He allowed his body to be ridiculed. He allowed his body to be spat upon, humiliated, huh? To suffer shame. Huh? That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't live this holy life if you ain't got Jesus inside of you. You're going to be nitpicking till Jesus comes. You're going to be murmuring and complaining about every little thing till Jesus comes. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost to help you to look past all of this foolishness. Huh? Oh, yeah. You'll be paying attention to stuff that ain't got nothing to do with your soul. You'll be giving heed to things that have nothing to do with your soul. Instead of you paying attention to Jesus delivering you from every bit of your sin. I need the Lord to deliver me from every bit of my sin. I don't need no sin on my life. I need him to remove all of it, right? Every trace of it. Every trace of wrong. I need the Lord to deliver me from it. Huh? Oh, yeah. You say, Elder Scott, you went down in the water in the name. Yes, I did. I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I wanted sin removed from me. But now the Lord told me to come up walking in the newness of life. And in this newness of life, I find another law in my members. That every time I would do good, evil is present. that no good thing is constantly trying to resurface. Huh? That no good thing that's in each and every one of us is constantly trying to resurface. It's always trying to get up and dominate. It's always trying to get up and rule. Huh? And every now and then, Stephen acts unseemly. Stephen says something that's not like Jesus. Stephen feels a way that's not in agreement with the Holy Ghost. And I need the Lord to deliver me, not from what I was doing, but from what I am doing. Anything that's not pleasing to the Lord, I need him to deliver me from it, right? Why? Because I want to go back with Jesus. And I know he said, without holiness, no man. Huh? Without holiness, nobody. Huh? I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in it. Without holiness, nobody is going to see the Lord, right? I want to see Jesus, right? Therefore, I got to constantly bring myself under subjection to holiness. Huh? Every time holiness tells me, you wrong, Stephen. Huh? Every time holiness tells me, you out of place, Stephen. Huh? I need to bring myself under subjection to it. I need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Huh? And not just, yes, Lord, get it out of me. Everybody that got this hope purifies himself. Huh? He's worried about how clean he is. Huh? That should be my chief concern. How clean am I? Not in your sight, not in your sight, but in the sight of the one that sees everything. Huh? The sight of the one that's eyes that do not sleep, whose eyes that do not wink. He looks at everything. And I need to be pure in his sight, right? Why? Because he said he's coming. He is coming. He's coming for a church without spot. Huh? Come on, y'all understand that? You can't have no sin on you. Now when Jesus comes, you need to be cleaned up. You need the word to really clean you up. Why? Because you can't have no sin on you, right? You need to be clean every which way. You need the Lord to remove every ungodly thought, every ungodly emotion, every ungodly way. Anything that corrupts, that defiles, huh? Need to get rid of all the malice, all the hatred, all that bitterness. You need the Lord to get rid of all of that stuff, huh? I'm trying to tell you, every now and then it surfaces. You say, oh Lord, it's there. I need you to clean it up. Lord, remove it all. Take all of this stuff away from me. Lord, you have given me your name as salvation. He said, your name is salvation. Meaning your name will deliver me, right? It will deliver me from all of it. Every man that got this hope, he purifies himself. How do I purify myself? I use the purifying element. There's a purifying agent in the earth. Huh? And it's not the building that you go to worship. Huh? The purifying agent is the name of Jesus. That's why I say I don't understand how people call themselves praying. They say we have prayer service and they ain't called Jesus nothing. They just be on their knees moaning. Be on their knees talking. When are you going to call Jesus? What I need to call Jesus for? I ain't got the Holy Ghost. The name is the purifying agent. You need the name to purify you. You need a name to clean you up. Huh? I'm already clean. You're a liar. And the truth ain't in you, right? Something you said ain't like Jesus. Something you felt not like Jesus. You need a name to clean you up, right? You need a name to clean you up. You say, what do we come to church for? Because I need to get clean. Huh? Need a name to clean me up. Huh? I thought something. I felt something that wasn't like Jesus. From the time I got up, huh? From the time I got up to this very moment, something inside of me was not like Jesus. And I need the purifying agent to work in me, right? I need the purifying agent to work in me. Some folk will fall asleep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you fall right on the sleep. You don't even realize you need the purifying agent. You need the name of Jesus. You need the name of Jesus to work on you. Name of Jesus to do what? Work on you. Work on that sleep demon. Huh? Huh? That distraction demon. That demon that keeps drawing you away from Jesus Christ. It's something inside of you to keep pulling you away from what your soul needs. Your soul needs Jesus. It needs more and more Jesus. You can't make this journey by yourself. You only fooling yourself. You setting yourself up for failure if you think you can do this thing called life without Jesus. That's why the scripture says he was manifested. Is that what that book says? He was manifested to do what? Huh? That's what he was manifested for. To take away our sin. Is that what the book says? He was manifested to do what? Take away. Huh? And in him is what? And let you know you got work to do. Who in here ain't got no sin on them? I ain't seen their hand go up. That lets you know you got some work to do. You got some work to do. You need to let Jesus do what he came to do. According to the scripture, he said he was manifesting. To do what? To take away. To take away. That word take away means remission. Remission means to take it away. He was manifested to take away sin, right? Is that why he showed up? He showed up to take away sin. He was manifested. That's why you got to be careful who you talk to. Some folk want to stay in sin. And you need to leave them folk alone, right? They happy in sin.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
They happy. They content in their sin. Yes. When Jesus said, I was manifested to do what? Take away it. Huh? They try their best to keep you away from Jesus. Yes. What do we say? The distractor is? He said, woe to you. Woe to you lawyers. Huh? Woe to you educated folk. You don't want to enter in. And you don't want nobody else that want to get in, right? Huh? You fooling around with somebody the Lord say, woe to. When you should be leaving them alone. The Lord told you, woe to them. You should be leaving them alone. Why? Because they don't want to come in. And they don't want you to come in, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, it's the truth, say. That spirit is working. Oh, yeah, it's working. It got to grab hold of you. If you ain't careful, it'll grab hold of you. That person you lingering with don't want to come to Jesus. And they don't want you to come to Jesus. Therefore, they keep trying to tell you little things to do what? Sidetrack you. Get you off track. Huh? And if you ain't careful, it'll get you off track. It'll get you so far out of Jesus. And you don't even realize the more you father you out, the more your garment is getting dirty and dirty. And you don't even realize that devil is setting you up for judgment. Why? Because the Lord is coming back for a church without spot or blemish, right? He's coming back for a church. In other words, a people without any spots and without any blemishes. Spots are sins. Spots are mistakes. Spots are shortcomings. Huh? And I done asked you a question. And ain't nobody put their hands up. So that means we all got work to do. Huh? We all need to come to Jesus and take advantage of the purifying agent. Huh? The purifying agent is the name of Jesus. We need to let the name of Jesus work in us and through us. Huh? Work in us and through us to do what? Get rid of it all. Not some of it. Get rid of it all, right? Everything that's not like him. That's true. Everything that's not like Jesus. I need the Lord to get rid of it all. Huh? Come on, read it a little bit more. I'm going to let y'all go. He was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin at all. If that's the key. That's the key. Stop going and abiding in other folks' places. And just abide in Jesus. Get yourself busy trying to abide in Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. Make sure your home is a home for Jesus. Not a home for sin. Not a home for devilment. Not a home for confusion. Make sure it's a place for Jesus to dwell in. Jesus don't dwell in unclean things. Huh? Make sure your home is a place for Jesus to dwell in. Huh? He that, what does the scripture say there? That's the key. That's why you want to abide in Jesus so you can stop sinning, right? So you can bring sin to an end.
Yes.
Read a little bit more.
And it says, whosoever sinners have not seen.
That's the truth. That was Nicodemus' problem, wasn't it? Huh? Jesus done told Nicodemus, you unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. Huh? You don't know what it's like to be ruled by the Holy Ghost. You talking Holy Ghost. You hear people say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. You talking Holy Ghost, but you ain't ruled by it. Holy Ghost ain't calling no shots. You calling the shots. You so full of yourself. There ain't no room for Jesus. Only one could be on the throne at a time, right? You done pushed Jesus down to the side. You done made a footstool out of Jesus. And Jesus said, I am nobody's footstool. Huh? I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords, right? Jesus knows who he is. You the one confused.
Thank you, Jesus.
You the one confused. You think you are a king. You think you are a God. Because you're sitting on the throne of your flesh. Huh? You say, well, I'm going to tell my body to do this. I'm going to tell my body to do that. Everything I feel, I do. Huh? Oh, yeah. Saints, y'all better be careful of that. You better be careful of that. You better be careful. I don't see enough filters. I don't see enough control and restraint. We just be moving along with every feeling we have. When we up, we up. When we down, we down. Where is the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost should bring some stability in your life. Huh? Oh, yes. Holy Ghost should bring some stability in your life. Holy Ghost tells the storm to calm down. Huh? Come on. Jesus was asked a question. What manner of man is this? That even the winds obey him, right? When you got the Holy Ghost, you got Jesus in you. The one that told the storm to cease, right?
Thank you, Lord.
That's when you got the Holy Ghost inside of you. Holy Ghost should be in you ruling. Huh? But when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you won't even know what it's like for Jesus to rule your life. The writer says you won't see it. Jesus told Nicodemus, except the man is born again, he can't even see. Now, you remember that in your mind. Go back over there to 1 John. 1 John said what?
See?
You done moved Jesus off the throne. Uh-huh. You calling the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh. You talking the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is really not ruling you. Uh-huh. How you know it's not ruling you? Because you can't see Jesus.
Right. See.
Well, what do you mean I can't see Jesus? Because all you doing is seeing sin. Sin is dominating your mind. It's dominating your thoughts. Things that Jesus is not pleased with is occupying everything about your thinking, right? You're filled up with it. Well, you should be filled up with the Holy Ghost. You're filled up with sin. Huh? Oh, Jesus, help me. I done said the Lord saved me. Well, you better act like you're saved. You need to act like and know and behave like you're saved. Huh? Right. Is that the truth?
Yes, it is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Whosoever, what does that read? Started off that verse again.
Whosoever abideth in him.
Uh-huh. Abide means to rest,
right.
To live, to dwell in Jesus.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus,
Jesus.
Who walk not after the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Huh? You got to change the way you walking. You got to change the way you thinking.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Whosoever abideth in him.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
And it says, sinneth not.
He don't sin.
Whosoever sinneth have not seen him.
You ain't seen Jesus.
Neither, know him.
Neither do you do what?
Know him.
Keep going.
Little children, that no man deceive you.
Don't let people deceive you, saints. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Stop letting people deceive you. Huh? You can't listen to everybody. I'm sorry. You just can't listen to everybody. Folk that don't know Jesus, what you listening to them for? What are they telling you? Go to the source. Don't say, well, you think you're the only one right? No, I don't. I'm not the only one right. But I know what I'm preaching. I know what I believe. I know what the scriptures are saying. Huh? Wait, is it? You mean to tell me that there are other places? Yes, there are other places out here that are preaching the same truth. That are telling you to do the same thing. Huh? They may not look like me. They may not look like us. But they're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They're telling you that you need the name in order to deliver you. They are on their knees calling on Jesus. Huh? Oh, yeah. Crying out to the Lord. I don't mean with a seriousness, with fasting and praying. Asking the Lord to make them better saints. They're treating people the way that they're supposed to be treated. Huh? Oh, and what more can you ask for? That's the role of the Holy Ghost inside of you, right? He was manifested to do what? Take away our sins. Read a little bit more of that.
Children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness
is righteous.
Even as he is righteous.
Yes.
He that committeth
sin is of who?
The devil.
You mean to tell me somebody could be preaching Jesus and still be controlled by Satan?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. They could be shouting and still be controlled by Satan. Yes, they can. They could be speaking in tongues and still be controlled by Satan. Yes, they can. Isn't that amazing? That's why you got to be careful. That's why the Lord told you, don't you believe every spirit. But you better try that spirit and see whether it be of God. Why? Because many false prophets. That spirit of Antichrist is in the land, saints. It's a spirit that is against Jesus. Against everything that Jesus is standing for. He wants you to do right. At the end of the day, Jesus just wants you to do right. He wants you to do right. He wants you to treat people right. He wants you to talk right. He wants you to think right. That's all the Lord wants. You say, well, what do I need the Holy Ghost for so you can do all of that? That's why he told you to seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom, his rule, and his what? His righteousness. And all these things will be what? We should be asking the Lord daily, Lord Jesus, help me to do right. Show me where I'm coming up wrong. Show me where my thinking is wrong. Show me where my attitude is wrong. Show me where my emotions are not lining up with you. Show me where I've gotten distracted. Where I've gotten off track. And help me. Right? Oh yeah, help me. Get myself where I need to be at. And use his what? Use his name. Use his name and don't stop calling his name till his name does what? Purifies you. It get rid of all the stinking thinking. All of that impure thinking. Those wrong feelings. Those negative emotions. Huh? Oh yeah, you know it. You know you look at how you put it to the test. Put it to the test. Look at somebody, then look at and see what come across your mind when you look at them. See what feelings you start entertaining when you look at them. Forget about what come out your mouth. Lord help you if you let it come out your mouth. You really know the devil got a control of your mind then. But did you think about the things that you're thinking and feeling when you look at a person? And you say, you be honest, you say, that's not like Jesus. Jesus don't want me to think and feel that way. Not about my brother and not about my sister. Huh? Sometimes we get so full of ourselves, we don't even stop and think. We don't even think about how Jesus would do this. We don't even think about what is it like for the Holy Ghost to really be in control of me? How would I really behave myself if the Holy Ghost was really able to do how it's supposed to do in me? First of all, we realize we wouldn't be doing so much talking. Holy Ghost tells you to keep your mouth shut. Huh? Next thing, our faces would be a little bit different. We wouldn't look so frowned up in the face, so straight faced. We'll have some his mother hit on me this morning. She said, "Elder, you usually look a little bit happy and bubbly, or smilier." Right. See, that means the Holy Ghost wasn't leading me like I should. Huh? I was so busy being frustrated about being late, I let self step in. Call myself June Jesus' work. Yeah, you could do Jesus' work in yourself. You need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a controlling spirit. Holy Ghost wants to lead and guide you. Don't want to be leaving you all out there to yourself, doing it your way. Remember, all of the sheep have already gone astray, doing things the way they want to do it. Holy Ghost wants to bring some restraint. It's calling the sheep home. It's telling the sheep, come in one door and eat in one field, right? That's what the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't telling you go eat what you want, roam where you want to go. That's that loose spirit that's in the earth today. Go where you want to go. Just serve the Lord wherever you want. Go from church to church. Hop, hop, hop. We're going to have a good time praising the Lord. You don't even know where you are. You're a wandering spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost should bring some stability. Holy Ghost will bring you to somewhere that someone is going to watch for your soul. Everybody understand that? Huh? That's why you say, why don't so many people want to come here? Because they don't want nobody to watch for their soul. They want to do what they want to do. They want me out of their business. Yeah, they want me out of their business. I couldn't go to no church like that because y'all pastor, he know everybody. Yes, right. I know everybody and I'm looking at everybody because that's my job, to watch for your soul. I got to go where don't nobody know me. You're setting yourself up for hell. You're setting yourself up for hell because the Lord said he gave you that preacher to do what? To watch for your soul. But he don't need to know who I am to watch for you. How is that the case? How is that the case? Didn't Jesus say he know all of his sheep? You ain't even going against him. The Lord is our master shepherd. He is our greatest example. And he said he knows his sheep. Say, Elder Scudder, well, our church congregation done got so big, the pastor can't know everybody. Well, something is wrong with him. Because he should have broken that up by now. He said he should have enough wisdom to say, our congregation has gotten so large that I don't know all of the sheep. And we need to appoint new shepherds in this area, in that area, and move the sheep over so another shepherd could do what? Watch them and know them name by name. But he won't do that. Why? Because he loves that money. Huh? He loves to be able to have the large groups. The large crowds of people. Huh? And the scripture doesn't say they're people without a shepherd. Yeah, they're people that they're gathering themselves as sheep without a what? A shepherd. That's not the church. That's not the church that Jesus has in the earth. That's not the example that Jesus have done what? Laid out. Jesus himself says, I know my sheep. I know them name by name, one by one. I call and they do what? They answer. How in the world is he going to call if he don't know your name? The pastor should know who you are. Should be familiar with who you are. Huh? Amen. Read a little bit more. I'm going to let you go. My time. What did the devil do? Sin from the very beginning, right? See, he's saying it again. Now notice those two passages of scripture where Jesus is saying the same thing. He's telling you why he showed up. He was manifested first time, do what? Take away our sin. And the second time he says, for this purpose he was manifested to do what?
Destroy
So hold up. We see our salvation is not just remission, but it's also Jesus doing what? Destroying some stuff. So yes, it is an ongoing process. We being saved is an ongoing process. So yeah, you receive the Holy Ghost. That's beautiful. You've got the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. But there's another manifestation that Jesus says right there in that same book. First time he said he was manifested to do what? Take away. That's remission. That's remission. To take away our sin. But the second time he said, but for this, what does it say there? Read that verse over the top again.
He that committed sin is of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The devil sinned from the beginning.
Yes.
For this reason.
Huh? This is why Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy. Huh? The works of the devil. Huh? Read a little bit more.
And that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Jesus.
But his seed
is in him. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
He cannot sin.
That's right. New birth. Huh?
Yeah.
New birth. Every day, saints, we should be looking for the Lord to make us what? New. Huh? Any man be in Christ, he's a what? Self tries to get you out. But you got to say, no, Jesus, I don't want to be out. I want to be where? In you, Jesus. Yeah, I want to be in you, Jesus. I don't want to be out. The devil, that's what he tried to do. He tried to sneak and pull you on out. But you got to snatch your hand away from, leave me alone, devil, and get on back into Jesus. Get on back into Jesus real quick. Huh? Let the Lord come and find you outside the circle. Huh? And if you outside the circle, you will be condemned.
Yeah.
Is that all of it? Did you finish it?
It is the children of God are
there. Yeah.
Children of
the devil. Yeah, that's true. Yes. Then let me know. I got to be concerned on what I am doing. I have to do what's right. What's right is not going to be popular. It's not going to be something people want to be bothered with. But you got to be concerned with doing what's what? What's right. Right is the root word for the word righteous.
Yes,
and when you say you have been justified, you said you have been declared righteous. Or you have been made right. All right? Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. I didn't get all into what I want to get into. But when we talk about we want to be born again and want to be saved, I think we need to know what that means. We be so quick to run down in the water. And I'm not knocking baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. We need it. It's for the remission of sin. I'm not knocking receiving the Holy Ghost. You need it. The Holy Ghost is the spirit portion of the new birth. But I am telling you, you need to be concerned about how you live after you have done all of that. When you say, oh, I did all of that, did it over 80 years ago, and you just as evil, you just as bitter, something is wrong with your birth. You died and you don't even know you died. You need the Lord to resuscitate you. Bring you back to life, right? Huh? You don't even realize he's not even manifesting himself inside of you. As a saint, we should be concerned if the Holy Ghost is not manifesting himself in us. We are always ruling ourselves. Where is there room for Jesus? You just can't make room for Jesus on church service days. What if the Lord come for you on a non-service night? What if the Lord come for you on a Monday or a Thursday? Oh, Jesus, you can't come for me this day because it ain't our church night. You have to wait till Tuesday. Jesus said, yeah, right. I come when I want to come. I'm going to call when I call, you're going to answer. Huh? Elder Scott, I was just going on the liquor store to get me some peanuts. You just dropped dead in that liquor store. You and that bag of peanuts. Huh? The emergency wagon come pick you up. They're not going to pick you up and say, oh, he really wasn't in the liquor store. They're going to say, place of death, liquor store. Right? Huh? Saints come look bad. News people say, news people come on the thing. Say, put the news on them. Click, 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 click. We had a death. Death, where's the person at? Pulling him out of the, he died in the liquor store. Huh? Sad, isn't it? Now you all over the news. Everybody know where you died at. In the liquor store. Huh? You can't even get up and say, but I was only getting a bag of peanuts. First thing people mind is they went to the liquor store, they bought some liquor. They was drinking some liquor, right? That's why you got to be careful. You have to be careful how you walk and how you talk. That is holiness, saints. Holiness is a what? A way of life and living. You have to be concerned about how you live, saints.